Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 25 of the Three Quarter Time Podcast. I'm Janus. I'm joined here with Cookie and with T-Dub. Now, the AFL, the finals are fast approaching. Football heritage is back in the Premier League. The US Open's kicking about. Everything's sort of kicking off in this late part of the year. Boys, how are we going? How's our weekends?
Hey, Dub, how was yours? Kick us off.
That was good. Played a bit of tennis. Played a bit of golf. It was good. Played the longest singles match of my career. 2 hours and 53 minutes. It was beautiful.
Any injuries to come out of it?
Just a lot of cramp. A lot of cramp and a lot of blisters.
Pickle juice.
Yes, and salt. My word. I was smashing the pretzels in the clubhouse. Oh, no, when I got home. When I got home, I just ate like a bag of pretzels because I'm like, I need salt, otherwise I'm going to die. But yes.
That's great.
Cookie.
Just quickly, T-Dub, where did it come from, the match? The 253, that's a fair effort. What did you channel?
That's a fight.
You must have channeled something.
What space
funny,
did you go to?
Literally, like, every time, every point, I was like, you want this. You love this. This is what you wanted. You wanted to earn it. And I was made to earn it. Guy played very well. So that was it was all internal. It wasn't like I'm going to do it for this or it was more just like you want this. This is what you want.
Would you say you were calm on the court or did you get sort of fired up?
I was very passionate when I won. Naturally after being in basically modern warfare, well, tennis warfare for nearly three hours. Two blokes just serving bombs and hitting big forehands. It was great.
Any backhands?
Oh, yes.
Nice, T Dub.
Bang.
Good. Well, we love to hear that to kick off the pod. What did I get up to? Well, Friday night, Janus and I, we parked at Jollymont, but we did not go to Collingwood, Melbourne. We walked straight by. We went to Amy Park to watch the Storm take on
the Bulldogs.
Canterbury. And I tell you what, it was a lot
of travel. Fun. And the Canterbury Bulldogs certainly traveled.
They did. The match was sold out. There was 25,000 in there.
Yeah, it was 25.
It was loud. It was actually a lot of fun.
Enjoyed the bum sniffers.
Yep, exactly.
Good game too.
Was a good game.
It was Pappenhausen's return game. Hasn't played most of the season, so came back, and you could tell the diehard Storm supporters were so happy that he was back. It was good fun. I am going again this Friday with some different people that wanted to go. So let's see how the Storm go against the Roosters.
The Chooks.
I will report back.
They had a bad loss, didn't they? The Roosters.
The Chooks. I will need to verify that. But I'll tell you what the game of the round was just quickly in the NRL.
Oh,
Peter, did you see what happened?
Oh.
Jeez.
That was unbelievable. Cleary just...
What happened?
Pins the ears back straight into the woodwork, and I could not tell you any of the Canberra players, but whoever received the ball just went from one into the other. Then fed it inboard and just scored the golden point try to, I think, basically lock up top spot.
Pretty much. Just huge.
And dents the Panthers' chances of going, I'm not even going to say back-to-back that many times, to win their fifth consecutive premiership.
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
It's funny with that. There's a bit of lore coming out of that game too. I'm not sure if you guys saw earlier in the week. There was a... like a book week thing, and the Penrith players went to a school, to meet the kids for book week. And one kid goes up, he's wearing a dinosaur costume, goes up to where the players are, like unzips his costume, rips out his like Canberra Raiders jumper and points right at it in front of the Penrith players. The Canberra Raiders get word of that. They invite him to the game, praise him for what he did. Gave him a jumper, you know, I gave him good seats. He watched the game, and then they invited him to the rooms afterwards.
That is beautiful.
That's such a good story. That's what it's all about. And I tell you what, the Raiders, that's a great story, Jonas. The Raiders are riding some sort of wave. They have not won a flag since 1994. So
it's longer than the Blues.
Longer than the Blues. So they won in 89, 90, and 94. They've only ever won three.
89, 90. So they went.
Should have won in 2019. They were robbed.
Who'd they lose to?
The Roosters. When they, there was like the conjecture at the end when they had the ball inside 15 and the ref called six again. You could, there's like a photo of him waving his arm for six again. And then they said, no, I never paid six again. Buddy, there's a photo of you with your arm in the air.
Yeah. That's a good pull from you, Ted.
I was furious. I don't like the Roosters, so I was not happy.
Well, I'll cheer him not on for you this week. Janus, just quickly, how are you, great man?
Yeah, I'm right. Apart from the rugby on Friday, and I went to see the Cats play on Saturday, but apart from that.
How was the open training session?
I tell you what, that's the most comfortable I've ever felt going to a game.
Wonder why.
It was good. And then we went to the almighty London Tavern after the game. The hollow ground where Jack Ginnivan got caught before the Dogs' Hawthorn elimination final last year. So it was sacred territory.
That's big.
And then we went to the Imperial in the city after to watch Man City play Tottenham. Tottenham, unfortunately, won 2-0. That was a big
hate watch
for me.
What do you mean, unfortunately, Janus?
That was a big hate watch for me, and it didn't come through.
All right, let's get into footy, boys. We have had the All-Australian 40 man, I believe. I think it's 40.
44.
40 man, 44. 44 man squad released today, it was today.
Yep.
Immediate thoughts from a Hawthorn perspective. I knew Jack Gunston was going to make it. Didn't expect Josh Battle to make it. Pleasant surprise. I'm sure Saints fans will disagree with Cal Wilkie being, I guess, omitted. Four clubs, no names. I mean, I didn't expect Essendon or Carlton.
Apparently,
George Hewitt.
Apparently George Hewitt plays golf. Nah. He's stiff, but because he's a midfielder, he's not stiff. But he is pretty stiff, not to make the squad. Like, he's had a very... You look through his numbers, he's had a very good year. But he's...
Has he had a better year than Josh Dacos? Maybe.
No. But has... Yeah, like, the question is, has he had a better year than any of the midfielders in there? Probably not, but, like, still.
To make the squad, at least.
A good year, though. He'll win the BNF. Janus, what are your thoughts on the AA squad?
Well, I'm glad Josh Worrell made it. I've been very big on him all year. From a Geelong perspective, pretty standard. I reckon I do want to see Grime Myers in there. I think he goes quite under the radar in all of these sort of like accolade things, so I would have liked to have seen him there.
Dempsey snubbed.
Dempsey snubbed on the wing. And then if I'm looking at it from a Collingwood perspective, I think Darcy Cameron's stiff to miss out too. Apart from that,
I can't believe there are no wingers in there. Like, just looking at the team here, there are no wingers. That's so bad.
Would you call...
But they never, well, never played wing.
Max Holmes isn't a winger now, though.
But he's played on ball. But
Jordan Clark was a winger, kind of.
He's a halfback.
But he's now a halfback now.
What about Josh Dacos?
No, he's
halfback.
He's
played in the midfield and halfback.
Yeah, well.
But I mean, that's the case with it always. They never played wingers on the wing.
They should pick at least one.
Yeah.
Like, so who would you pick? Like,
well, Dempsey is probably the best winger in the comp this year.
Easily Dempsey.
Who's playing on the wing Brisbane.
Barry.
Bruce Revill.
Bruce.
No, I don't think anyone really gets close. Blake Akers is always going to be stiff, in my opinion, but a little bit of bias there.
You the problem can't is the wingers are guns, 25%. And then they just go into the middle, and then they're just midfielders. Like,
but they should pick
a player from each position. I mean, you're making
at least one winger, like they did last year with Goulden. And I know they snubbed D'Ambrosio last year.
At least they pick one.
But they should pick at least one. Like, otherwise, what's the point of even having wingers? Just start eight. Just start six in the middle. Just start six at center bounce. Anyway,
it's another one of those things where nobody's truly ever happy with it.
Do you think they'll pick Gorn and Grundy? Without going through the positional breakdown and seeing who, like, out of gut feel, who do you reckon?
What about Luke Jackson?
Nah, he won't get in. I don't think he'll get in.
So yeah, I think don't they usually pick two ruckmen? They usually do.
Not all the time.
No,
I wouldn't be surprised if they did pick both, and I wouldn't begrudge them for picking both. I know Grundy's end of the year was phenomenal.
Yeah, his second half of this season has been unbelievable.
Yeah, he pulled it back. Yeah.
Yeah,
last year they only picked one ruckman.
Okay.
So.
We will see. Noah Anderson lost the captaincy? That's what I was just thinking.
I reckon Dawson's the captain.
Yeah, true. He has to be.
I reckon Dawson's the captain. I mean, I think Dawson will get the Brownlow, so...
Yeah, he wouldn't be a bad tip.
Nah, he'll be the captain. Good call, Jonas.
He'll be the captain.
He should be.
If they does Huey McCluggage get in finally?
I mean, if he doesn't,
without a doubt.
Depends. Yeah, at least they'll get him on the bench.
I wonder if Rankin will make. He won't make it, surely.
No.
I can't believe Rankin's been picked. I mean, he's a gun, but still. Does Jack Higgins play golf?
Yes, exactly. Who are the small forwards picked?
Elliot.
He'll get it.
Cozzy.
Yeah, but Cozzy I wouldn't count as a true small forward because he plays midfield too.
He rotates.
So
Ben Long, actually, that's a good. I'm happy Ben
I hope
Long,
he gets picked because he's a gun.
That's cool.
If they pick him, that's good. But overall,
it's all right.
As Jana said before, like, it's something that no one is ever going to be happy with. I think, personally, I reckon Impey is stiff. I reckon Jarman and Impey stiff.
Impey and Amon have been good.
Yeah, the three I came up with were Impey, Quaynor, and Iden. I reckon those three are incredibly stiff. And Wilkie to a point. And I'm sorry, but what is Sam Taylor doing in there?
That's what I was thinking as well.
Like, what is he doing in there?
How many games? He's barely played. He hasn't played much.
He's missed a lot of footy.
Yeah, he shouldn't be in there.
Surely the backs are like Andrews, Collins.
Key backs.
I don't know if Worrell will get in.
I hope he does.
I mean, who are you going to pick? Like Worrell or Josh Dacos?
Off the year that they've had, I'm going Worrell, but...
Yeah, but they... Josh Dacos had a pretty good year.
It'll be interesting to see where they go. I mean,
there's always more midfielders than anything else. It's a midfielder's game now. But anyway, we move.
All right. We're gonna take a look to the finals now, boys. I'm gonna start with the first four teams. I'm gonna give to Janus, and the bottom four I'm gonna give to T-Dub. Lads, I want you to tell me. We've got eight teams in the finals, and I'm gonna include Gold Coast and not the Dogs. And I want you to tell me a pass or fail mark for these teams this year. T-Dub, kicking us off.
Like, what is a pass, or like, have they passed or failed?
No, what is a pass? now, like reset.
Yeah.
From what we know, what's a pass for them?
P-Dub, let's say the Suns finish seventh.
Yeah.
What's a pass mark for them? Can they beat the Dockers?
Honestly, a pass mark for them is beating Essendon and making the finals. Just tick the box.
Yeah, that's not a bad call, actually. No one expects him to beat Freo.
Yeah.
Really. Okay. Let's go the Hawks at eight.
Win a final. Don't digress. Yep. Don't go backwards.
Yep, I agree. But if we do win a final and we play Collingwood in the second week...
Oh, it's still one. You can beat
Collingwood. It's still one, but we would... I think it would be... We'd almost start favourites in that game.
Yep.
Okay, now let's go to the Dockers at six.
Win one. Just one. Because of the travel they're going to have to do. Just one.
And the Giants at five.
Prelim.
Yep.
After last year, prelim.
Yep. Janus... What's a pass mark for the Pies this year?
Weird year. It has been strange. If you asked me this like 10 weeks ago, we said grand final. After this, prelim.
Yep. What about the Lions?
Prelim.
Nah, surely it's premiership.
I would say GF.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you win the flag, you got to make it back to the GF at least. What about the Cats, Janus? What's a pass mark for the Cats?
Grand final.
Yeah, premiership or grand final. And what about the Crows? The Crows is an interesting one.
I reckon for them, it's at least a final win. Like, I know that they finished first, but you look at the group. You look at the group. They've never had finals experience. I think I saw something somewhere where it's like the biggest turnaround in ladder position. It was like 15th to first. Like that's the biggest turnaround in AFL history. So, you know, they're quite inexperienced come finals. Yeah. So I think for them just to get their foot on the park and play in the postseason is, you know, at least get one final under your belt.
I was saying prelim. I agree with the Crows.
Yeah.
We will see how we go. So based on our logic, we're going Geelong, Brisbane in the grand final. We will see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Okay. Janus, we had an Aussie score what I would call a wonder goal. Talk us through it.
Oh, yes. Quickly. Certainly a wonder goal. Nestori Irinkunda. He played for, he came through from Adelaide United, then he went to Bayern Munich, and now he's on a permanent at Watford in the Championship. Balling out, and he scored a miracle free kick against Swansea City. Unfortunately, the game ended as a 1-1 draw, but the kick itself was, geez, it was a bullet. Top bins, too. So he's loving life over in Watford, and I think they've got a talent on their hands, and... I wonder if this, this performance or, you know, his role in Watford will get him going in England. So it will be interesting to see how he goes there.
Good on him.
Yeah.
Now, just quickly, boys, while we were talking about the AFL, there's an interesting one. We had a 16-year-old score for Liverpool recently against Newcastle. Yeah. The winner.
Recently, this morning.
Last night. This morning.
This morning, I got up and watched the game. It was an unbelievable game. Newcastle versus Liverpool always brings out some fire, some energy, some heat.
You were right, James. Caught it early.
I said there'll be blood spilt in this game. And there was. So obviously the Alexander Isak saga is going on. Newcastle and Liverpool having a bit of tension. Hugo Ekitike, who plays for Liverpool now, and he scored Liverpool's second goal, was actually heavily linked with Newcastle as well. So there's a bit of lore involved in the game, and while Newcastle sort of dominated, Liverpool were able to score the first goal through Gravenberch against the Tide. Then Anthony Gordon comes in on Virgil van Dijk and absolutely cleans them up. Red card. They're down to 10 men at halftime. Second half comes out. Hugo Ekitike goes bang in 30 seconds. 2-0. Then Newcastle, they would have been forgiven for sort of going in their shell, but they continued on with 10 men. They fought to the death. They ground the game out. Tino Livramento, long throw. Bruno Guimaraes gets an equaliser. In the 88th minute, Newcastle get the 2-all equaliser. But off the bench, going back to your point, Cookie, off the bench, Rio Ngamoa, who is a Chelsea Academy graduate, he came off the bench for Liverpool. He's only 16. And I think he's the... he came off the bench. He scored the winner 3 minutes after coming off the bench in like the 97th minute or something like that. A great goal, great finish. And that makes him the second youngest Premier League goal scorer behind Wayne Rooney, who I think he is a day older than.
Bang. It's a great stat, Jonas.
Yeah. So that was when Rooney was at Everton.
Ooh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I like that, Jonas. So, T-Dub, I got a question for you, great man.
Here we go.
Should 16-year-olds be allowed to play in sports like the AFL, like the NRL?
Nah.
Or should we keep capping them?
No, because half the 18-year-olds aren't physiologically ready to play AFL.
They get killed.
B.
What if they are ready?
Hey?
Man, you great man.
B.
You were 6'6" at 16.
Yeah, but B, like, they're still kids. Like, they're going into showers with grown men. Like... And like,
why do you think it's allowed in the EPL? Then?
No disrespect to soccer. Soccer's a lot less physical than AFL or NRL. Like as a soccer player, if you can run and sprint and run away, you're fine. And if you've got good skills, run away, that's fine. But in footy, if you get tackled by a man who has 30 kilos on you, you're not getting up. You're done. Like, that's just Jage. Like, as someone who shares the same physiological structure as most 16-year-olds, about 70 kilos, if I got tackled by, say, Tom Hawkins
Mummy.
Or Shane Mumford, I don't reckon I'm making it off the field. But it's more the, like, workload of AFL. Like, you see so many young... I mean, look at Will Day. And he's not 16. He's a grown man. So, like, you see good
and
players.
And what money does to people, like Hugo Hagen, kind of, to an extent.
And you see what, like, their bodies can't handle it. The demands is, especially while they're still growing so much, even at 18, you're still growing.
Mm.
But.
Of course.
So, no, I don't think.
That was the answer I expected. I just wanted to hear you say it, but I like it.
Yes.
It's interesting because it's always a good story when things happen like this. Like there, cool. But I know what you mean. When you think about it, it's all about the physicality. Tennis, you're allowed, right? You are allowed.
Yeah.
Play on tour at 16.
But that's different because it's not...
It's not a contact sport.
It's not a contact sport.
Yeah. Golf? What about golf? Are you allowed on golf?
Not sure.
Interesting.
Golf, the average age is higher.
True.
But when did like Tiger start?
Oh, he was young.
Young.
But he's not. I wouldn't call him the benchmark.
I get that, but like
that's why I love golf. You can play forever. Like as a professional. Like you can be professional from like 20 to 50. Like you can be a pro for 30 years. There's not many sports that you can do that, other than, of course, Phil the Power Taylor, who just dominated the world of darts forever. But you think about Luke Littler, right? The average age of darts is traditionally like in your 50s, 40s to 60s, right?
17.
Luke Littler was 17. He could play darts professionally for 45 to 50 years.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Like, that's ridiculous.
He will never know anything else besides throwing a dart on a board.
I love watching the nuke. Oh, it's just so good. Just 180. Oh, it's so good.
Now just quickly.
Oh, sorry, go. I got one.
As we were talking about Tiger, I'm going to go into a different segment.
Yes.
Recently this week, Forbes released an article saying Roger Federer has now joined the billionaire status club of professional athletes. And there are six other athletes in that echelon. Tiger is one of them, as we've mentioned.
Eldridge.
Who are the other five?
Well, surely Ronaldo's up there.
Nope. I'll give you a clue. They're all American.
Okay, wow.
Ronaldo is not up there.
How many of them are boxers? Or like fighters?
None.
Is it all sport? Like
yeah, athletes.
Like
athletes.
Yeah.
MJ.
Yep, that's one.
Brady?
No.
No, he wouldn't be a billionaire yet. Shaq.
Two of them are hard.
Are they all alive?
Played on the same, played near Shaq. Same team earlier though. Yes.
They're all alive.
Actually, no. No, there's one. I'm going to say his name. You'll never get this bloke. His name is Junior Bridgman. And he played for the Bucks like the 70s and then he bought the team.
Oh, bang.
So he's a billionaire. We've got one currently playing and we've got...
Is that Matt? It's not LeBron.
Yep, LeBron's a billionaire.
That's wild.
LeBron is a billionaire. And then we've got
LeBron's got more money than Ronaldo.
Who played for the same team as LeBron and Shaq, but earlier. I'll give you a clue. He's got very big eyes. If that helps.
Magic.
Yep, Magic. Magic is a billionaire.
That doesn't surprise me because he owns...
He owns part of a team.
Yeah, he does.
Yep. So there you go. Roger Federer, Jordan Johnson, LeBron, Tiger, and Junior Bridgman, apparently.
So Federer is the only non-American in that. Wow.
Yep.
Notice one thing. They're all men.
Stag of the world.
Yep. Spot on. I don't suspect women would be even close.
Serena might be close.
True.
Serena.
Venus played yesterday.
On a technicality, you could claim that Jessica Pegula is a billionaire, given that her family owns the Sabres and the Bills.
True. That is a good point. I like that, Tatum. If they suddenly dropped off the face of the earth, touch wood they don't,
she would be worth a lot of money. She could retire, safe to say. That was a great question, though, Cookie.
Interesting. Yeah, but what were you getting into?
I was going to say, what are your thoughts on Stan Sport?
Oh, jeez. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm an average Premier League fan. I would get up on I guess most of the games are on Monday night, whatever. I would get up on my Tuesday morning, Monday morning, I would go onto Optus Sport. There'd be a plethora of highlights waiting for me, all 3:50 long, just showing me the story of the game. But apparently, Stan Sport, Channel 9, please help out. We've got 2-minute clips. I don't know what's happening in the game. I see like 3 goals and it's over. And the people want more. Go look at the comments in the videos. They want more. And I feel bad when my EPL friends are like, Cookie, watch the highlights. And I'm like, I watched them. I learned nothing about the game.
Exactly.
Story isn't told. Yeah.
Look, EPL is one of the biggest leagues in the world. 2 minutes do not do anything any justice.
But the thing is with that, it's like you can't find any good highlights anywhere on YouTube as well. Like, it's not just Stan Sport.
It's, oh, it's
like,
exclusive.
It's like
illegal streamers, get to work. Come on, lads. We know you're out there. Get to work.
I mean, I've seen some 10-minute highlight clips of people filming the game at the game and then, like, compiling a highlights clip from that.
That is massive.
Phone. Yeah,
I don't condone piracy. But that is magnificent.
So, Stan Sport, get your act together.
Can you imagine, like, for example, can you imagine I went to an AFL game and just sat behind the goals and just filmed it?
And then uploaded it to YouTube or whatever.
And then uploaded it on YouTube. I'm not going to do that. Don't sue me.
Well, but that actually... That actually reminds me of something that happened recently. That isn't on the run sheet, so I'm going off the cuff.
Oh, go for it, Jonas.
Do you guys know Mark Goldbridge? You know that, yeah.
Yes.
Manchester United.
Yes, I do.
Guy. Well, yep. The Bundesliga is actually teaming up with him.
I did see this on
so Twitter. So now he has exclusive streaming rights to Bundesliga games. So instead of having a watch along where it's just him commentating the game, he can actually have the game up there and you can see it watching it with him.
That is beautiful.
So
that is
it's good to see that football and sport are tapping into that social media market. And I mean, they can increase so much, you know, more viewership by doing that, because all of a sudden you've got free access to the games, you're getting more attention onto the games, and it's an easier, more accessible way to access the games. Because I mean, like, for me to watch the Premier League, I need to have Stan Sport, but for me to watch the League Cup, I need another streaming service. You need all these streaming services to, like, watch, like, multiple different games of the same team, whereas this gives you an easier way to do that. So credit that they're recognizing the times.
Can you imagine us doing like what he does and what Peyton and Eli do? You know, Peyton and Eli Manning have the like Monday night football.
Yeah.
Can you imagine us having them for footy?
It's like beautiful
Friday night games. Or this, we'll start off small. We'll start off with the Sunday 4:40 game in Perth.
I was about to say we'll take the graveyard slot.
Yeah, we'll take the 1:10. Just, I'll get a fourth panel. I'll just move my face over to the side. Hang on, I'll move my face over that way, and then we'll just put the game on here. Just get expert commentary.
No, that's such a good idea from the Bundesliga. Like, I will now see more Bundesliga.
Yeah, you'll probably see more Bundesliga
because Mark Goldbridge comes
viral.
Up. He's massive, yeah.
We'll just do what Flaryax does.
I don't know when that starts. I don't know when it starts. I imagine it's probably, you know, this season.
That's good. It's a good idea. I like it, Jonas.
Yeah.
Now, just quickly, we had another bit of an interesting one for the audience. We had the most expensive ever sports card sold last Saturday.
Ooh.
$12.9 million USD it sold for, and it was the dual Logo Man card offered, which is the only card in history that includes both Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant's signature.
Jeez.
With patches from when they played. It was like a series done in like 2005 where they would do cards with like two players on them at the same time, and that was the only card ever made with those two players. Yeah.
In history,
there's no other card like that.
Damn.
$12.9 million. Oh, jeez.
So I pose a question, Jonas. If you could have one piece of sporting memorabilia, on a personal standpoint, what would you choose? And let's just say you're a billionaire. What are you buying? What do you want? Well, in the man cave, what's on the wall?
What would I put up on the wall?
I know what he really wants.
What does he really
want? I mean, there's I've got a few.
I want two, no more than two.
Okay. Well, I reckon Jarrod Bowen's Conference League jumper that he scored the winning goal in against Fiorentina for West Ham. I would have that framed and I'd have that up on the wall. West Ham history in that. But what else? Another one. Oh, Oisin Mullins grand final worn Guernsey this year.
Oh, here we go. He's gone the early crow.
I was gonna say. And jeez, best bit is he doesn't need to
show you on next Friday.
Doesn't need to be a billionaire to get that one. Cookie, what about you?
I like it, James. What first comes to mind was either the jersey or the shoes that Giannis won the chip in that 50-point performance on the wall. That would just be beautiful. What about from a Hawthorn standpoint? I'm not really attached to players like that.
Brian Lake's handcuffs.
Next time he MCs, you give it to him over the fence. See how he reacts.
He's not a good MC,
but he might get a bit of energy if you do that.
I don't think we've lost it with him MCing, though.
That's beautiful.
Oh, that's a good one. T-Dub, what about you? What do you want on the wall?
Oh, jeez.
You don't exactly have many championships to pick from.
Thank you, great man. I really appreciate it. I wouldn't mind a jersey, to be honest, just a worn jersey from any of the Canucks in the 2011 season, in the playoff run, or a game puck from that series, maybe one of Shaq or Dwight's jerseys or something. I don't really know. Yeah. As you know, I'm not a big sports paraphernalia man.
Oh, fair enough. Oh,
actually, a pair of Fev's boots.
When he kicked 99.
Just any year. Just a pair of the Lucius cleats.
Oh!
Fev, if you're watching, hit me up. No, I'm joking. Just imagine having a pair of Fev's boots. I'd wear them too. I wouldn't even have them like stored. Surely I'd kick.
I love
that. Oh! Steve Smith's bat from when he made 100 in England on the return.
Oh, good one.
That is actually a good
one. That was like, a great one. I watched every ball of that Ashes series, and that bat, to say I have that bat would be probably mean the most to me than all my teams. So yeah, I'll go Steve Smith's bat. I think that would be good.
Cricket has some great paraphernalia, like a bat. Nothing better than just a bat on the wall.
Just a bat on the wall, yeah.
Yeah, it's just
bat wall.
It's just a piece of wood, but it means so much.
Indeed, like my Spartan.
Stories in that.
My Spartan in the room next to me.
Tall cherries.
Oh, is there what?
That's the thing. That's the thing with a cricket bat. You can feel. You can see the stories in the bat. You can see the storyline. You know, you can see an innings in that bat.
Wish I had the same feelings about my tennis rackets, but I don't.
Multiple.
Yes.
Speaking of tennis rackets, Janus. Sure. Would you like to talk us through the Filipino news we've recently had in the US Open?
I would, but I have no idea what it is. The only thing of the US Open I've really seen is Medvedev absolutely cracking it after the cameraman walked on the court after a first serve fault on match point. Yeah, but that's about the only thing I see. I don't actually really follow the tennis that much, despite the fact that it's like the only sport I play.
I will be happy to fill you in, Alexandra. No, I won't pronounce this correctly, but I'll say Ila or Ala. Anyway, became the first player from the Philippines ever in the Open era to win a Grand Slam match.
It's beautiful.
With a win over the number 14th seed. And she won in a super tiebreak 11-9.
Oh,
the fair effort. There's nothing better than like that. And you could see as soon as she won, the crowd was like, so heavily on her side. As soon as she won, she just broke down in tears.
The stuff of legend.
And she was trailing 5-1 in the final set as well.
Who? Where was the person she was playing from?
Denmark.
Denmark, okay.
Towson.
Yep. Didn't look like she had it. But anyway, that's the...
Tough what do but I fair, know? I suppose.
Just bang.
All right, we're gonna finish off the pod with a bit of a fun one. B-Dub, I'm going to ask you some questions, and you're gonna have to give me what is more likely.
Yep.
Essendon beating Gold Coast or something else. Okay.
Yep.
All right. There's five of them. What's more likely? Essendon beating Gold Coast or Charlie Curnow going to Sydney?
Curnow to Sydney.
Essendon beating Gold Coast or Ken and Butters both going to the Hawks next year?
Bombers win. Ken's
Essendon
coming
beating Gold Coast or Gout Gout winning gold in LA? Oh.
Gout Gout.
Gout Gout.
Essendon beating Gold Coast or England beating Australia this year in the Ashes 5-0?
Essendon are more likely to beat Gold Coast than England are to get a test match, let alone five of them. Mate, we're going to smash the Poms.
Yeah. All right, I like it. Last one. Boland. What's more likely, Essendon beating Gold Coast or Australia making a semi-final in the 2026 World Cup?
Ooh. I reckon the Aussies.
Yes!
I reckon genuinely. If we got a soft pull and we just got lucky in the round of 16. Oh, wait, no, you said semi. You said semi.
Ooh.
Back I'll stick to the up. Aussies.
Yeah.
They'll get to the final four.
Oh, that's quality.
If Gold Coast lost, though, just before we wrap up, would it be the worst loss in the history of the AFL?
Yeah. 100%.
It probably would be.
On the eve of basically your first guaranteed final series, you literally face plant at the final, the final little pothole. That is diabolical.
It would be ironic if the season ended in bookends, like Carlton choked to Richmond, and then the Bombers beat the Sun. Actually, no, because Hawthorn played Sydney first, so it's not a true bookend. But that'd be funny.
It would be funny. Essendon have the chance to do the funniest thing.
It would actually just be the most Essendon and Gold Coast thing ever.
Yeah.
You honestly never know.
To be fair, Essendon were competitive against the Suns last time they played.
When was that?
I mean,
2011?
No. Last time they played this year.
I don't remember it.
I'm not a betting man, but Bombers are paying $11.
I think that's cheap. I think that should be like 20.
Anyway, it will be the worst loss in the history of the AFL if the Suns go down to the Bombers.
Yes.
But Luke Beveridge will be praying for that.
Well, he can pray all he wants. He had his opportunity at three-quarter time last week to give a big rev-up speech, and he disappointed, which is why we want you all at home to go out there and have a massive last quarter. Thank you for listening. We're raising the gloves. It's a quarter of a century, 25 episodes in. Well done. Well done. Have a great week. If your team's in the finals, good stuff. If your team's not in the finals like mine, ha.
Enjoy your break.
Anyway, look forward to the cricket season. Thanks, lads.